And then I go through the aisles of the store and I just, oh, I got my card out and I got to have a bean of every size, every color, just to make it interesting. And I just go loony if I can't find those wax beans or lima beans or butter beans. Oh, how interesting.
From the blog Random Sweets, I'm Stacey Mergenthal, and this is Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens, a show for people who embrace the warm and cozy spirit of everyday living in the northern Midwest. Like today's guest, my mother-in-law, Marie Mergenthal. Mr. and Mrs. Sydney and Catherine Munson raised Marie, her twin brother Donnie, and their nine younger siblings on a farm near Millbank, South Dakota. And even though Marie's roots are in South Dakota and she now lives in Minnesota, she's always had a worldly eye for the art and vogue fashion industries. New York and Paris would have loved her style and flair for visual merchandising, photography, couture, and costuming. But God kept her right where he needed her most, raising Jason, Lindsay, Betsy, and Ryan, and taking care of her family, especially her husband David, who passed away on Good Friday in 2018. Marie is steadfast in her Catholic faith, and she prays for her family and friends every day. In this episode, Marie is giving away her secrets for tangy dill pickle pasta salad and the calico beans she is so well known for in the family. And if you like a Dairy Queen peanut butter parfait, stick around because Marie has a recipe to make it at home in a 9x13 pan. I've posted photos and these recipes on randomsweets.com. And after you listen to this episode, you'll know why Marie once put up a hippie head shop tent. Now, while you still have your phone in your hand, please take a minute to subscribe to this show and rate it, which you can usually do that from the show page. I really appreciate your support in helping me grow my audience. And now let's go see what stories Marie has to share with us.
Hello. Welcome to the Stacy Show.
To the Marie and Stacy Show. We should have cocktails here with us.
Oh, you know, I do have some. Look at that mix down there with rum. I could whip something up.
Well, I'm glad that you let Jason and me come into your house today and set up a podcast studio in your kitchen. Oh, and we're right next to your big stash of community cookbooks, which I also curl. Whenever I come here, I'll curl up on your couch with one of those cookbooks. And I have pictures on my phone because I sit and take pictures. And I'm like, oh, I need to remember that recipe.
Oh, Stacy, you should see the boxes I have out in the garage. That was cookbooks. My project this winter. I never got around to it, but I was going to make it easier for you by sorting into salads and casseroles. But, you know, I think I have 15 boxes out there and catalogs and magazines, but I always have in mind who would like to go through that. And so one of these days I'll go out to your farm and make an anonymous deposit.
Well, now I'm going to know who it came from.
I'm just doing my bit for the environment.
I was trying to think, what do we talk about with Marie on this first episode? Because you have so many stories, for one thing, not even just about food, but oh my gosh, you always have good stories to tell.
And I'm a talker, I'm sorry.
And you're a talker, which is great. And you have kind of one of your languages of love is food. You cook for people, you bake for people. You live here in Mankato, Minnesota, alone now, and you cook for your neighbors and you take care of people around here. And so it'll be fun to talk about some of these food stories with you. And I was thinking, we for sure have to talk about the dill pickle pasta salad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you do have to like cold pasta salads, which a lot of people do. Most people do. But
see, these have dill pickles. I'm not a fan of cold salads. But I ran across this one. And since I usually have to feed a crowd, I have to double it up. But I want to keep flavor. When I soak, I use every bit of the dill juice when I soak up the shells.
Oh,
overnight, they absorb all the dill pickle juice. And I think that's what makes it tangy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it worth it. So
before we actually talk about that recipe, I have a story to tell you.
Okay.
Because I met Jason in 2002. Sajan was born in 2001, Kalani in 1999. So they were very young. Sajan was a baby. He was just turning one when I met Jason. And one of the first times that I came to your house in Elk River, Minnesota, which I don't remember if the kids were with or not, but you made supper. And for some reason to this day, I still remember you made a chicken or had rotisserie chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, stovetop, and I'm not sure, probably a vegetable. But at that time in my life, I was a very, what I almost said, very young mom. I was 30, so I guess I wasn't really young. But I had two babies and was living on my own. And to have, for some reason, that hot meal just warmed my heart so much.
Aww.
And for a long time after that, I made rotisserie chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and stovetop for Kalani and Sajan as a meal, kind of in our meal rotation. Mm-hmm. There was just something so special about it. So
thank you.
I remember that all these years.
Oh, you're so sweet, Stacy. You always have been. I fell in love with you instantly. And of course, your two little kids, I just adore them. Yeah, I remember too, Stacy, that year. That's when David was in the hospital waiting for his liver transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very dire at that time. And you just flew right up here to be with Jason and our family. And then, but your sister was pregnant, ready to give birth right then
she
and there.
Did.
But so you flew up there to be with Jason, but then you had to turn right back around because that's when Kateri was born, right?
Yep, Katara. Yeah. So, yeah, David had his liver transplant in the afternoon, and I drove up to Minneapolis that night, and you were all, like, sleeping at the hospital, staying up there, and I got there, and then all of a sudden, Callie went into labor with Katara, and so I drove down there. Yep.
Yeah, I virtually would live at the hospital, sleep, you know, go from floor to floor and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be there right when the call came.
Mm-hmm. You took really good care of him all those years.
Yeah, it was very, you know, I lost my identity pretty much because it was 24/7 caring for him. And now that he'll be gone 5 years now.
5 years.
On March 30th.
Oh, yeah.
He passed away on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. And like my brother Donnie says, he always has the luck. You know, leaving during Holy Week, you know, he all in his plan.
Oh, Donnie.
that's my twin brother. But we're all very close.
Yep. And so then I thought about a story that I wanted you to tell. Because I love when you tell the story. The Munson family, when I did first become part of the family and meet you guys, you're a big farm family from the Milbank, South Dakota area. That's where you grew up. That's where you farmed. Family of 12?
11 children.
11 children. Mm-hmm. And you and Donnie are the oldest.
That's right.
The twins.
But I'm technically the oldest. 3 hours older than Donnie.
Okay.
He always blames his poor eyesight on me because I stepped on his eye
sockets. Did you kick him in the head? Well, so you would have, in the summertime, the Munson family get together at the farm. You would all set up tents and campers and stay outside the farm place. And your mom, Catherine, would be there. And you would always make sure that she was well taken care of that weekend.
The matriarch of the family.
Yep. And everybody would cook and bake and bring food and share big potluck. And it was this whole long weekend. And I made the salted peanut chews.
You're not going to tell that.
No, I'm not going to. Oh. You are. Because I love it.
Oh, my mom was also guilty in that.
I know. That's why I want you to tell the story.
Okay. Well, Stacy came with her bars, many, many, many bars. But our favorite, my mom's and my favorite, were those salted nut rolls. And so we call it the Survivor Weekend.
Oh, that's right.
And the reason we call it Survivor Weekend is because the farm is pretty much unattended. And my mom would, she had the rural water turned off. And we said, what the heck? We need this place to gather because you end up with like 125 people there.
Yeah.
And people, we didn't care. That's our kind of family. Just to be together at a place where it would accommodate all of us. Mm-hmm. So people decided to come and pitch tents. And then my brother Gordon has, he's part over a dealership in Milbank that had these big watering tanks for washing cars. No sweat. He just hauled that pickup out there with a big tank of water, and people could take showers, and we would, you know, fill up our pots or our kettles with water and heat that, and thank God she maintained the electricity. So it got to be like a 1 day turn into 2 day, and then a 3 day, mm-hmm. and then a 4 day, because everybody wanted to get the best camping spot. And we would have themes, and we wouldn't tell anybody each other's themes because there were grand prizes like twins tickets or paraphernalia, things like that. And so we would keep our themes quiet because we're all vying for the main prize. And I know 1 year, I just love doing stuff like this.
Your whole family is very into it. It took me a while to get... I'm still trying
they are a formidable family.
Very
and
fun.
And you know, the Survivor Weekend, it's hush hush. Well, thank God it's 8 miles out of town.
Right.
And you know, our fireworks are better than the Milbank's fireworks because I had eight brothers and it was a testosterone thing.
Right.
They'd come and load up their trunks filled with fireworks, and the bigger the better.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some close calls. And then my mom, can I go to bed now? 3 hours, that's an awful long time.
It is.
I need to go to bed now. The mosquitoes are getting bad. And the rest of us, oh, no. We're going to have a huge, huge bonfire when we're done.
Mm-hmm. To burn all the boxes from the fireworks.
So to get back to the salt...
Salted nut rolls.
So this is one of those big weekends, so much fun, and there were still some salted nut rolls left, and my mom and I are eyeing them. And so I always bring extra bags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I go there while no one was around. I think they were at church.
Oh.
Those... The goody goodies.
Went to church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went the night before. You know. Anyhow, so there I bagged them all up. I think maybe I left two. You know, I bagged them all up because after all, they had to be for Mama and me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go barreling out the back door and I misstepped. And my bag just, all the bars, they went flying up in the air. Right for everyone to see.
Wait, I didn't know about that part.
Oh, you... Oh.
No. You didn't... I only thought it was funny that you were sneaking some for you and Graham McKay.
No, they went... And so we're going out the back door on that concrete slab there. I misstepped in it, and they just went flying.
Oh, no.
And so I was discovered. Oh, it was so embarrassing. But I collected them all anyhow.
Yep. So, that's just it's a fun story. And
yeah,
you know,
but to get back on the Survivor weekends, every year it'd be a theme. I know I had this one theme and I had to commandeer Donnie and Steve to be Cheech and Chong because I was going to go with the hippie and then even David and Grandma was in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made up a tent for like a head shop with all my paraphernalia that I managed to save. And then I had a little car. Then I decorated like a bug, like the Volkswagen,
mm-hmm.
with the flowers on it, stuff like that. And I remember I went to bed about 3 a.m. that night, and Betsy comes running upstairs. Mom, they're going to take your car to town. And I go, no, they're not. So I had to go down by the fire and watch my car. But anyhow, so I'm dressed up as Janis Joplin, and my mom was in on it. She's the hippie old lady.
Mm.
But Betsy had that tent, tie-dye tent that she had done, like, it says, make Munson's not love, or make love not Munson's.
Oh.
And she had bra strong along the lines there. And it was a big thing in the 60s when they were burning your bra, you know. So later on that night, we're at the big bonfire. It was the burning of the bras.
I would like to burn all mine, too.
And here's our mother. She's almost 90, mm-hmm. throwing her bra into the fire. And remember, David's trying to leave to go up to see his aunt up in Cooperstown. He had a little car. And all of us women are throwing the bras on his car, and he can't leave. And he was so frustrated. He's trying to get out to get those bras off. And as soon as he got them all off, there we are again.
Putting them all back in.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But that's our family. We would have so much fun over nothing.
Well, just being together.
Yeah.
You guys just go all out and costumes or themes.
Oh, yes.
And wigs and just so much fun. And my family is, we're not like that.
So yeah, we're out there, but you know, and then it also, like I said, you know, it would grow because friends of friends wanted to come. Mm-hmm. And my mom, and this is carrying on my mother's, she welcomed everybody. Mm-hmm. All her kids' friends, and it was just a gathering place. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm trying to remember, was it her 85th birthday or not? I think it was. Where that year, the theme was the 50s. Mm. And because they were going to have a movie on the north side of the house with a projection.
Mm-hmm.
And they had so many games. There was just so much that was worked into it. It kept getting more and more elaborate. Mm-hmm. And I had the wig. I was a bowling shirt with the Stryker sisters. And this wig is like a big beehive, but it's like 3 feet high, you know. And I remember our priest came out from town, and we had a mass there in that house.
Really?
Yes, okay. For our mother, a mass. Aww. And it was in the family room area. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine the number of people. And Donnie is so worried that the floor is going to give way. Because there were so many people there.
Right. And nobody had been living in that house for many years.
No, mm-hmm. But God saw that wouldn't happen. I mean, after all, the priest is giving mass.
Right. You know? So let's talk about the dill pickle pasta salad. Because I feel like I tried it for the first time only within the last couple years.
Yes.
Maybe last year for sure. We were at Lindsay and Jesse's at the lake.
Right.
And the buzz for the day, you know, was Marie's going to bring her dill pickle pasta salad, and she's going to make a spicy one, too. And so you made two batches, and one was a spicy one.
Yes, last year was the second year I made that.
That you did. Okay.
And I also made another batch that Betsy took with her out to the gathering in T, South Dakota.
Oh, sure.
Because the farm gathering had moved down to my brother's house. Sid, I call him JR. in T, South Dakota, and so they have, I don't know if it's 100 people, but they have 100 people that come to that.
Yeah, that's
so every year it's a toss-up going between that one or the Botkers on the lake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a hard call.
It is. So. Yep. But the dill pickle pasta salad, then I did, Kalani liked it so much, and so you mailed the recipe over for her, and then I made a copy for myself, too, and I've made it a few times,
mm-hmm.
and to one of my little family gatherings, I brought it with me and was all excited, but most of my family, I didn't really like dill pickles. So I brought the salad home, and Jason and I ate it because we really like it, and it's so interesting because you can walk us through the recipe, mm-hmm. but you soak the pasta shells in the pickle juice after they're cooked.
You know, I boil them al dente,
mm-hmm.
and then I put them in the pickle juice to soak overnight so the shells totally absorb all the liquid. That's what makes it different, that mm-hmm. they have that tang to them.
So much flavor. And it's right, like you said, it's within the pasta. It's not just what you're adding, stirring in.
Right.
So
that wasn't something I picked up in a recipe. That's something that I just devised myself.
Your addition to brilliant.
That's my spin on an ordinary pasta salad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just very particular. I mean, sometimes it's the little details that make all the difference.
Yeah.
So But did you want to go through kind of what's
yeah,
in it?
Yeah, so it's pasta shells, like the smaller
yeah,
pasta
I use
shells.
The small pasta shells. Mm-hmm. They absorb the liquid better. And plus, I think they... Visibly, they look more appealing, I think.
Sure. And it's easier when you take a bite because you're adding some cheese and some pickles. So you want to be able to have your spoon or your fork
mm-hmm.
handle a few of the ingredients at one time. So you're using the smaller pasta
right.
shells. Yep. So you cook those al dente and then what?
Then I take the baby gherkins, the baby dills. Mm-hmm. I get those because they're firmer. If they're bigger, they can get kind of soft and mushy.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. I always buy the very small gherkins. I know all about gherkins because my mom had us work a 25-acre cucumber for school money.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. We sold, and we would go up to Wilmot and sell those.
Okay.
And my reward was an ice cream cone.
Wow. That's a lot of work for an
yeah,
ice cream cone.
Yeah, we were battling the mosquitoes, but mm-hmm. that was my mom was an innovator.
Yeah.
And she did what she had to do.
She had to manage a lot of kids garden and
yeah,
the farm.
And her garden was the best. But anyhow, to get back to, the gherkindills. And then I like the brick cheddar cheese. And I would get either cheddar or extra sharp cheddar. And then I would cut those up myself, cube them up myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take white onion and dice it fine. And then I also get fresh dill. That's important.
Yeah.
You know, everything is about appearance too. And I cut up the dill, so it's just feathery. And Heilman mayonnaise. I only use Heilman mayonnaise.
Jason has taught me that. I used to do the Kraft real mayonnaise, and now I know it's only Heilman's.
Heilman mayonnaise. Yep. Yeah. And sour cream.
Oh, yep. I forgot about sour cream.
And then. To put the punch in it, cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put in as much as you dare.
Or you don't have to put any at all.
Right,
so if
right.
you don't like any spice whatsoever, mm-hmm. okay.
And then I combine all that, and the longer you put that in the refrigerator to sear, everything, all the flavors will meld together, and it just becomes more and more intense. So,
yeah.
And then it'll last a long time. And I don't know if you know this, Stacy, but I guard my pails. My
like
ice cream pails. My ice cream pails. And as a matter of fact, I got a note over there to Lindsay. I had a tubular pail because I go get them from the bakery. And I brought ham soup for her for Christmas Eve, and I have not seen that one back yet.
You're waiting for the pail.
I have a note. So, Lindsay, if you're listening.
Marie needs her pail back.
Yeah.
This is a public service announcement for yes, Marie's pails.
Right. Yeah.
Well, in the pasta salad, so I have a favorite pickle, and they're dill pickle slices.
Oh.
And they're my favorite pickle and the favorite pickle juice, so I've used those and cut those slices up for the salad. So gherkins work great. Any kind of pickle that's your favorite is what you could use to make the
that's
salad.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So the spicy one, when you do that, that was just coming from some cayenne then, right? Cayenne pepper.
From my the spiciness in mine?
Yeah, like
yes,
when
yes.
we were at Lindsay's
yes,
and people were like,
easy.
Oh, she has a spicy one too today.
Yeah, yeah, that's very easy to overdo, so. But, you know, a lot of my family members like it spicy.
And this is one of those pasta salads that, well, for me, especially when Jason's not home, I like having just a pasta salad like this, and then if there's no meat in it, I can just have some like the dried salami or summer sausage on the side of it, or you could add a little bit of chicken to the serving probably.
I would make that for Brandy over here. She liked cold pasta salads.
Okay.
So I'd bring them over.
Mm-hmm.
I could always count on my neighbors eating my rejects.
They're not rejects. They're just extras.
Or my bounty. Marie made way too much, and Marie can't eat all that, or really shouldn't eat all that. But Marie could eat all that.
That's a whole other topic, though. It's hard enough to cook for two. How do you cook for one? My mom's in that same position. And you want to make some of these things, but they only last so long. And
right.
like a pasta salad, you can't freeze that
right.
and eat it later. So finding ways to help spread the love. You're knocking on the doors and delivering packages.
I have, in where I live now, I have a lot of single grandparents, elderly people, and they'll end up just not cooking for themselves because it's too much effort. Yep. It's too much effort to buy groceries. And I just, that's just the way I was raised with all my brothers and sisters, eight brothers, you can imagine.
Right.
Yeah. So I found a way. And, you know, Stacy, it just gives me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
And if it tasted horrible, they would never tell me.
I can't imagine you would ever make anything that's horrible, but, you know, and yeah, you're not.
Well, you know, Stacy, I have an addiction. And it's clipping coupons for what? I don't know. I'm not going to live long enough to make everything that I clip, but it's so interesting.
Clipping recipes, you mean?
Oh, did I meant recipes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, coupons would work too.
But you've said that before. And you know what? My grandma Janet, she did the same thing. And she said the same thing to me. Stacy, I don't know why I clip these out of the newspaper, or why I have these magazines. I've always said, reading it and just thinking about food and ingredients being put together is a joy itself. You don't have to be in the kitchen making those things, but what's the difference between reading a cookbook or a magazine than a book?
And see, I think it's fine. I learned from my mother that learn to make something with what you got on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things will be tight and rummage through the cupboard and you can make something. But during COVID, I had a new friend, you know. I got a new friend. Her name was Brenda.
Oh, that's right. Yes, your friend Brenda Gant.
Yes, yes. So every day I'm listening to Brenda, and she had this quote like, if you can't make something from what you got in the cupboard, you're not much of a cook.
Right. We all do have enough stuff in our cupboards. We could put something together.
And so when I look at all these recipes that I'm clipping, I'm thinking, oh, I got that. Well, I can substitute that and make that. And, and if I don't like it, then my neighbor will.
Yeah, you can always come up with new things.
Right,
sometimes those are the best dishes is when you're like, oh, I ran out of such and such, and so I added this other thing and turned out good.
Now, what was it that I did? I should have penciled that down.
Write it down, yes. So what about your beans? Because everybody in your family's like, Mom's bringing her beans, and everybody's so excited, and then they take some home with them because they love your beans. And you don't even have it written down, right?
No, it's Marie's beans, you know. And I have a nephew and a godson from Texas, and he swears that he's duplicated my beans.
Oh, really?
And I said, hold it.
Showdown.
I will be the one to determine that. You know, and I know your parents are vouching for you, but no. I have to vouch for that. No, and I started making these beans back in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
And I they originally called like calico beans.
Okay, yep.
But I added more stuff to it, and terrible stuff, I have to say, like bacon grease, hamburger grease.
Moderation, you know?
Tons of brown sugar. All the bad, good stuff.
The stuff that makes it actually taste good.
And then I go through the aisles of the store, and I just, I got my card out, and I got to have a bean of every size, every color. Just to make it interesting, and I just go loony if I can't find those wax beans or lima beans or butter beans. Oh, how interesting. And then I have these huge roasters because, you know, I have to make a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And never worry about running out of the sauce because if you got enough bacon grease or grease, you need ketchup, mustard, Worcestershire sauce. I gave you my secret. That was the grease. So,
but, that's right. We were not going to reveal the secret.
And if you're running low and you look at the crowd, you're running low. Well, I hope you got a couple cans of Bush's baked beans to kind of mix in there, and they'll never know the why. You know?
Right.
But I'll go out to these get-togethers at the farm, the Survivor weekends, and we'll be sitting around waiting for the 5 o'clock meal. And I notice my brothers, were sitting there talking, and I noticed they had these white styrofoam cups. Seemed to be eating something out of them. And, you know, they had rules, rub rules, you know, they weren't supposed to dip into the beans. Mm-hmm. And I go in the house and I see it's getting lower and lower. And, you know, I figured it out. They're cheating.
So they're out there eating the beans.
And I remember that was Lane.
Pre-supper.
Yeah, my baby brother, Lane, otherwise known as Rocky. I'm giving away all the, they're going to kill me for this. They all have, see, Marie left home when they were still little. So when I left home, I kept calling them the names that I called them when they were little.
Mm-hmm. And you still do.
And I still do. Mm-hmm. So they know when I want to talk to JR, they know who's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, there's plenty of stories.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to hear all the stories about, I mean, when I think about feeding that many kids, and eight of them are boys, so
yes,
and they were in sports, and how in the, and well, nowadays, I can't even imagine when eggs are $8.
This is no lie. I mean, I would have to peel, it was a roaster, but I would have to peel that twice a day full of potatoes, and when the dinner is served, I mean, it was, they would dive right in the middle, and then you had to get out of the way. But my mother, Betty and I, there were three girls, and Betty, who is 11 months younger than us twins, mm-hmm. and then our baby sister, Kathy. Well, we always still accused our mother of favoring the boys, no matter what. You know, we joke, but we had such love. It was a mm-hmm. great, great, great family. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a whole lot of material things, but that caused us to read, use our imagination, mm-hmm. Make do with what we had. And, you know, today, Stacy, I still favor that. I get overwhelmed by the Mall of America. Oh. I do not like too many choices, mm-hmm. although Amazon and the UPS... Man, they're my good friends.
He'll soon receive a package of baked beans with a note. Return the bucket. I need my pail back. Well, and you've taken, so I don't remember what you had in Elk River when I first met your family for vegetable gardens, or if you did, but you have always had so many flowers, and you guys had a pool there, and it was just, was so beautiful.
It was
all
idyllic.
The work that you put. So it was just like your mom.
Yeah, it was idyllic.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little creek that went back by us, a pond, a tack barn that one day I was going to turn into a business, a wreath-making business. And back there on the acreage, I was going to grow my own wildflowers and make wreaths for selling online. But with David's illness, that just took that dream away. But because when I grew up in South Dakota like I did, my mom's gardens were huge, huge. And I'm not lying when I said she had 400 tomato plants. We had so many tomato plants that we could afford to have a tomato fight. And so my mother wouldn't let us in the house dripping with juice and seeds until we hosed off. Mm-hmm. And there was that many tomatoes that we could do that. But, and then can, and everything that we ate came from the farm, with the exception of Alberta peaches.
Oh, okay.
The cows, the pigs, chickens. Oh, there's stories there. You know, like one time my mother told my brother she needed a couple chickens for supper. Yeah. And I'm looking out over the sink out the kitchen window. And I see about 30 birds flopping around out there in the front yard. And I said, Mama, how many chickens did you need? And she said, well, two or three. And I go, oh, well, I'll never forgive my brothers for that, because guess who's up all night cleaning chickens? And
they got more than they
brought. Yes, they did. Oh, no. I mean, this was a story on the radio down in Sioux Falls.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm telling tales. Oh, yeah. Yeah. got it, Mama, you got to be detailed. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they never went to waste.
Sure. So. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure you had, did you have at that house, I'm trying to picture, was there a basement, like a cellar? Where did you keep all the canned, when you would can?
It was the basement.
The basement.
Yes. That was on the farm in South Dakota you're talking about.
In Milbank.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That used to be a huge mansion. It was called the Gaynor Mansion in the late 1800s, early 1900s. It was huge. They would have dances in it. It was so big.
Okay.
And I was born in 47, but I have memories back to like 1949. Mm-hmm. I can recall things. And they revamped the house, moved it to a new basement, took away the wraparound veranda and the upper deck porch, the bay windows, and modernized it. And I hated it, you know.
Yeah.
The 1950s, people were doing that to these homes. And
right.
Should have kept the personality of the old home.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness I can remember getting slivers on the porch.
Oh, sure.
But I loved it, so.
Yeah. Just, I want to circle back here to those beans because.
Oh.
It's fine. I'm just thinking. So you have all these beans, and then the sauce, you said you're just kind of mixing some ketchup and mustard and Worcestershire, and
okay.
But you have brown sugar, and then slow cook them, right?
I start with a good deal of the drippings. I suppose about, and now I'm just like, I have a big Dutch oven. I put, I suppose, about inch and a half, or 2 inches maybe of the bacon drippings. I saved all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would use like a keg or two of ketchup and a half a bottle of mustard. But before I added the ketchup and the mustard, I put in tons of brown sugar. And I let that absorb all the drippings.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the foundation right there. Mm-hmm. And then I use the ketchup and mustard to almost fill it to the brim of the Dutch oven.
Okay.
And because I had a roaster, I use these huge blue roasters. I don't know if you ever see them anymore. All the things that I have are from ages ago. And I'm lost without them.
Yeah.
In fact, when I packed up to come down here, I had to have my favorite. I had this mixing for what's it called? A Swedish dough fork.
Oh.
Yeah. It's things I have to have. It's just like, it's like Marie's not the Tim the Tool Man, but Marie's got her kitchen tools.
Yes, you do.
So anyhow, to get back to that sauce, and then when I've got it, and I taste it, because I want it to have a tang to it.
Yeah.
You know, because the mustard, you know, the amount of mustard puts a tang in. And then that's when, if it's all right, then I add the Worcestershire to it. And I believe that's it. But to get back to the beans, with all the beans, I add a couple of onions.
Okay, just diced up onions.
Yeah.
Are you putting hamburger in there? Are you putting bacon in there? You're using grease, but is there bacon in there?
Yes.
What about hamburger?
Hamburger, too.
Okay.
And it depends upon the size of the crowd. Mm. But, I suppose I would use, I don't have my, well, I could use anywhere 5 to 10 pounds of hamburger and probably 3 to 5 pounds of bacon.
Okay.
And these are things, see, that you can, don't have to do the day of. You can do these things well before.
Mm-hmm. Well, they probably, these beans, I'm assuming, taste better if you let them sit and kind of meld together for a couple of days.
Well, I don't mix up the beans. I worry about the beans getting mushy.
Oh, okay.
So, but everything else can be prepped and cooked and baked and done before.
Hmm.
And then I would have one of those big, what do you call those big roaster ovens that have the water in the bottom? And
oh, like those, like the big white ones?
Yes, that you plug in. I have one of those.
Okay.
Well, I have it right out here in the garage as we speak.
I think we've borrowed that before to make ham because it's so big and nice. Yeah.
I think I had to haul it up to Bismarck. And Lindsay has used it.
Yeah.
So, yes. And then that all gets dumped into that for the party.
Okay.
And so my goal was to fill that to the brim.
Yeah.
And you never worry about too much because people, you'd have little containers mm-hmm. to send home with people.
Yep. Jason will always come home with some wherever we've been.
So, yep, I always do that. And, you know, I don't do that so much anymore. I say, you know, because I wouldn't allow Betsy or Lindsay in the kitchen because it was such a small kitchen and too much traffic. And I was worried about somebody getting burned or being spilling because that happened to my mom when they revamped that house, that farmhouse. The traffic's coming through her kitchen. And she was just always livid about that. But one time she was canning and one of those huge pressure cookers exploded on her.
Oh.
And she landed in the hospital. So, and I always think about opening up an oven when you're trying to bring out some hot, sweet, syrupy kind of stuff that would scald and burn. So I would not let Lindsay or Betsy help much in the kitchen. And so they could do cleanup, though.
Of course.
But my daughters turned out to be great, great cooks. And I'm going,
oh, my gosh, yeah.
How did that happen? Osmosis, I guess. I can remember when Jesse and Lindsay went down to San Diego right after they got married. He was doing a fellowship down there. And Lindsay was doing Thanksgiving down there. And Ryan flew down from Salt Lake City down there for Thanksgiving. And then Ryan calls and reports to me, sorry, Mom, I think Lindsay's a better cook than you are.
Ryan.
And I go, oh. But, yeah, that was good.
But that's good, though.
That is good.
Yeah. And you'll have to make sure all your good recipes get handed down and passed on. And
you know, they'll probably have to tape me in my hospital bed.
Well, I'm working on it. We're covering some here, and you're working on putting things together. Mm-hmm. But
I'm walking through my memories. You know, and I have saved every note card, every letter, and they get filed with, because I have a folder, a book for each of my siblings.
Oh, okay.
And they're, you know, what to do with those Christmas pictures they sent of their kids. I put it in with them in their folder. And lately, I'm going through correspondence cards. Hey, did you know there's some money in those?
Time to cash out those Christmas cards.
You know, you should have written that thank you note.
You got a gift card in there to like Coast to Coast or Sears. Or
I wonder if this is still good.
Well, I don't want to stop, but we'll wrap it up for this episode.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have things sitting in front of me that, you know, we talked about the pasta salad, but I have the dill pickles recipe sitting in front of me that is David's mom, right? So Lillian's recipe that she hand wrote in 1974. Right. So I want to talk about the pickles, which we could do more in the summertime when people are starting to pickle. And I have a recipe here handwritten from your mom for the fluffy white frosting. So this looks to me like it's kind of the 7-minute frosting like my mom talked about. Yes. So I would love to come back and talk about this one too.
My mom was famous for her Lady Baltimore cakes.
Does that have
the frosting.
Nuts and pineapple?
The Lady Baltimore cakes was the white icing with a coconut on it, but the filling to the cakes was pineapple.
Okay. So we want to talk about that too. So we have all kinds of things. And Jason always talks about you would make this kind of a peanut butter parfait ice cream dessert. And you sent that to me, but I want to talk about that one too. See, we have folders sitting out here, all these things.
That was one of my favorite ones from up in Deerwood.
Well, let's talk about that one. Do you have it with you?
Yes, I got it right here. It's on my Deerwood, my trucking letterhead. And I took that out to...
So the peanut butter parfait is something that both Jason and I like to eat at the Dairy Queen. I think that's what they call it, right? Is the peanut butter parfait.
Those are from the 70s.
There's vanilla ice cream, some kind of... You make some kind of a sauce, so it's not just...
Well, the sauce and that's very hard to do because you definitely have to boil it 8 minutes and stir it constantly.
Is it evaporated milk, sweetened condensed milk?
Evaporated milk. Chocolate chips, or I would use like the Hershey chocolate in a can.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And salted Spanish peanuts.
Like the red skin ones, right?
Yes, with the salt on. Oreo cookies. Powdered sugar.
What does the powdered sugar go in? The sauce?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a stick of Fleischmann's. You got 2 cups of powdered sugar, 2/3 cup of chocolate chips, or that can of chocolate syrup, which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
A 13-ounce can of Carnation evaporated milk, a stick of Fleischmann's, and need to boil and stir constantly for 8 minutes. See, if you don't do it long enough, it's never going to set.
It's not going to set and freeze.
Right.
What's the Fleischmann's? Is that a margarine or a
yes,
butter?
Yes.
So it has to be margarine?
Well, I that's what I would use at the time, always Fleischmann's margarine. Mm-hmm. And then it has to be cooled very, very completely before you put it over the Spanish peanuts and ice cream.
Okay.
Well, it's like crushed Oreo cookies.
So the bottom layer is...
With the butter
like
and the
crust
crushed
of Oreo
typical,
cookies. Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And then you put the 1/2 gallon vanilla ice cream, and you soften that a little bit beforehand, and then you put on the Spanish peanuts, the salted Spanish peanuts, and then that sauce.
Oh, the sauce goes over the top of the peanuts,
yep.
And then you freeze it.
And then, you know, that's something that, since when I lived up in Deerwood, you could keep that in your freezer, and when company would come over unexpectedly, you'd just pull it out. And cut off a square.
Magically have a dessert.
Yes. If Marie wasn't sitting there eating it.
Right. Well, I'll have to make that for Jason.
But I was going to say, you have recipes you're going to talk about later. Maybe you can put in Jason's, my own concoction, my Jello salad.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And how do you even do it anymore? Because we can't find apricot Jello.
You have to order it online.
You have to order it online?
I did that for Minnesota Hockey Day. I made that.
You ordered it online for Hockey Day?
I ordered it online. 6 packages of apricot Jello, and I think it cost me $10-$12.
Oh, my gosh.
But that apricot has the tang to it. Betsy says she duplicates that by combining orange and peach.
Oh, okay.
I haven't tried that out, but you know, it's very hard to find.
Yeah, we can't find it because Jason's been looking because he likes to make that Jello salad with the secret ingredients that you can see right through the Jello. We'll share that another time.
So stay tuned
for another Stacey and Marie so you find out what's in the Jello.
What a good mom. She got in the fruits and vegetables
right,
in the Jello.
Right. Well, we'll talk about the apricot Jello some other time on another episode, which we'll do. Is there anything else? What else did you have on your list?
I just put down the Jello salad.
Yeah, well, I'm glad
we'll
you
talk
did
about
because
that
I didn't.
Later.
I didn't remember that one, and
that's,
boy, I should.
Jason, yeah, he likes that. You know what? And I did not know that he liked it. I was surprised.
Oh yeah, he likes that.
It's it's so fresh.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll come back and
wrap it up.
We'll talk. We'll let you spill the give the dirt on your brothers.
I'll mention all of them. Steve and JR and Johnny and Bobby and Gordon and Arlen and Lane and Betty, my sister.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Marie. Thank you.
It was so much fun, Stacy.
I thought so, too. So that's why I want to do this a bit again with you.
Okay.
Please.
Love to.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Remember to get the recipes for dill pickle pasta salad and peanut buster bars on randomsweets.com. And even though Marie didn't have a written recipe, I added her foundational ingredients for her bean dish there too. And those pickles I mentioned are Grillo's pickles, not World's Best. Next time Marie joins us, I'm hoping she'll share her mom Catherine's recipe for Lady Baltimore cake and 7-minute frosting, plus her own mother-in-law, Lillian Mergenthal's dill pickle recipe, which even specifies what time of day to pick the cucumbers. And of course, her own apricot Jello salad with those surprise fruit and vegetables. I'm still taking cheesy hash brown casserole recipes for an episode I'm working on for the end of April. So if you still want to share yours, email it to me at stacy@randomsweets.com.
And thank you to my sister Heidi, who recently shared her mother-in-law Judy Thompson's recipe with me. I'd also love to hear your ideas for episodes and guests, especially if it's you who would like to join me. Email me at Stacy, S-T-A-C-I, at randomsweets.com. Really, thank you for listening, and please subscribe, follow, rate, and review Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Thank you to those of you who have sent me messages and notes, just letting me know that you're listening and enjoying the show. I appreciate it really more than you will ever know. Sweet wishes!